Paramahansa Parivra Jagacharya Stotarshata A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupat Paramahansa Parivra Jagacharya Stotarshata Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premsi Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardham Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Shri Jagannath Puri Purukshottama Kshetra Dham Ki Ganga Maya Ki Yamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Shrimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Grantara Shrimat Bhagavatam Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Tai Gaura Pramanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Adhiraye Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nahan Atmanan Ashase Mat Bhaktai Satubhir Bina Shriyam Chatyam Tikim Brahman Yesham Gatiraham Para Nahanatmanan Ashase Mat Bhaktai Sadubhir Vina Shriyam Chatyam Tikim Brahman Yesham gatiraham para Naham atmanam ashase Mat bhaktai sadhubhir vina Shriyam chatyantikim brahman Yesham gatiraham para Thank you. na, not, aham, I, atmanam, transcendental bliss, ashase, desire, mat bhaktai, with my devotees, satubhi, with the saintly persons, vina, without them, shriyam, all my six opulences, cha, also, atyantikim, the supreme, brahman, O Brahmana, yesham, of whom, gatihi, destination, aham, I am, para, the ultimate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss in my supreme opulences. We'll read again. O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss in my supreme opulences. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but to enjoy His transcendental bliss, He requires the cooperation of His devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in Himself, He wants the cooperation of His devotees like the cowherd boys and the gopis to increase His transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to Him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of His devotees, but because He is unlimited, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. Thus, He descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto Him because, unlimited as He is, He wants to increase His devotees unlimitedly. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, He does not feel transcendental bliss without His devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that if a very rich man does not have sons in a family, he does not feel happiness. Indeed, sometimes a rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. Naham atmanana shase mat bhaktai satubhir vina shriyam chatyantikim brahmam yesham gatiraham para. O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss in my supreme opulences. Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणं नम ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदन्त स्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पश्चात्यदेशतारिणे पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पवानेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तावृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, good morning, everyone. So in this statement, Krishna is answering to Durvasa Muni. Krishna in the previous verse and in this verse has been glorifying his devotees, basically, and highlighting that the worship of his devotees is even higher than the worship of himself. Because at this point, Durvasa Muni cannot get a relief of distress unless he surrendered to the devotee. So even Krishna, he said he is powerless in helping Durvasa Muni because he is under the control of his devotees, and if a devotee is offended, then there is nothing that he can do unless the offender goes and takes shelter of the devotee. So Krishna is saying that without these great devotees, or these saintly persons, there is no enjoyment for myself. So Krishna, although Srila Prabhupada explained his Atmaram, he's self-sufficient, in his original form as Krishna, he requires the association of his devotees. We will never see a picture of Krishna, bona fide picture, Krishna alone. Always Krishna is with devotees, either with his lover or with cows, peacocks, or other gopas, etc. In his form as Vishnu, sometimes he's in Nidra Yoga and he is satisfied. No? It's another characteristic. As Vishnu, he may not be always surrendered of devotees, but as Krishna, which is his original form, no, Krishna Swayam, he is certainly manifesting all the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full. Therefore, in order to enjoy his own fullness and increase that fullness, he requires the service of his devotees in the form of association. And this is the Ladini Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord, that is included, the Ladini Shakti is the pleasure potency. And that pleasure potency increases unlimitedly. That is the same that devotional service, that Ladini Shakti, the internal potency. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna glorifies devotional service and his devotees. Now this is a glorification of what gives pleasure to Krishna. And therefore he said, bhaktiya man abhijanati, the bhakti, or pure devotion, the only thing that can conquer me. In Srimad Bhagavatam, when he's speaking the Uddhava Gita to Uddhava, Krishna says, Nasadhyati mam yogo nasankhyan dharma Uddhava, that my dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service of bhakti that my devotees bring, that my devotees render to me, that kind of devotional service, pure devotional service, put me under their control. There is no other way I can be controlled, not by any other sadhayati, any other type of sadhana, or any other kind of like a philosophy, like Sankhya philosophy or mystic yoga, pious activities. Krishna is saying it's only even the study of the Vedic literatures, which are very vast, that won't please Krishna. The only thing that will please Krishna is pure devotional service. But what is pure devotional service? Why is so special that can conquer Krishna? So what is in the, what these pure devotees, the what power they have that they can control even Krishna with their love? So in the material life, we have some parallels in terms of relationships. So for instance, if we have a, generally the scriptures of Srila Prabhupada especially use the example of the love of the mother, no? For their son. But in that relationship, for instance, mother and son, usually the son or the daughter can conquer the mother and put her under control, no? Because the mother will cook for the son or the daughter, no, specific times, and there can be many other people who may try to get some favor from this mother, and they may be very important personalities, in the, even a famous person, a great musician or a great scholar, but in nobody will impress, make a big impression, or touch the heart of this person as their children, as their sons, because they have that usually, especially a newborn child is completely dependent on their parents, especially the mother. They don't have any other shelter. No? They're completely under their care. And when a person is completely dependent on oneself, also oneself wants to reciprocate. So what to speak in the Supreme Person, no? When a devotee has given up everything for the service of Krishna. And these devotees, they don't look for any other means to obtain anything. But everything they get through Krishna. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami, he explained that the characteristic of devotional service, they have primary characteristic of Swarupa Lakshana, and secondary characteristics, Tatastha Lakshana. And these primary characteristics are very unique, because one is Anya Vila Shita Sunyam, which is being devoid of all material desires. But this is a secondary characteristic. The devotees, they don't have any. It's not that they don't have desire, but at all, they have a desire to please Krishna, which means it's described, this is the primary characteristic, anukulena, which means that whatever they do, they are doing with the only focus of pleasing Krishna. This is called vyavasayatmika buddhi, that their mind is one. Even though they perform many different activities, it may look like they are doing so many things, but all these things that they are, that these devotees are doing, they have only one focus, which means to please Krishna. While those who are not pure devotees, Bhagavad Gita explained that their mind is bahushaka, it has many branches. You know, so the energy is diverted in so many other things instead of focusing on pleasing Krishna. Therefore, the mind of these non-pure devotees is always causing trouble. Because when there is not this disposition of doing everything for Krishna, which is the achyuta, he never fails, then there is fear if you are not doing things for him, because whatever else we are doing is subject to be lost, whatever other pursuit you are doing. It's like a baby has full confidence that their mother will protect them. So children are completely surrendered. They don't have any doubt. You know, that if they cry, somebody will come. No, and not normal relationship. But when we are not pure devotees, we always are fearful, even if Krishna will protect me or not. So we need other means to obtain our so-called pursuit for happiness. So we put something in Krishna, but if Krishna doesn't come, we have other processes that we are using to obtain our means. But the anyabhilashita shunyam then means no desire except for serving Krishna. And then all the activities that the devotees are doing are activities anushilanam, activities that are under the direction of the pure devotees. So they are not serving Krishna directly and saying, okay, Krishna, what do you want me to do? But they know the science of pleasing Krishna is also pleasing Krishna through his devotees. That is what Durvasa Muni is missing. Now, he's very powerful. He's a mystic yogi, and he's a devotee also, because he's going to Krishna. But he doesn't know the science of pure devotional service, which means to go to his pure devotees first. So Krishna says also in Srimad Bhagavatam that performing first-class worship of my devotees, this is the first-class religion, worshipping my devotees, no, puja. Now Durvasa Muni is learning that lesson of the power of the devotees. We will see at the end of the chapter, no, how he is glorifying Ambarish Maharaj. So this definition of pure devotional service, we have this anushilanam, these activities that are under the parampara. So all these activities they are summarized in different items in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. But the first one is to take shelter of a devotee. The three more important are taking shelter of a devotee, and Marcel, you know them. Yes, taking initiation, diksha, and what is the third? Yes, serving. Yes. So taking shelter of a devotee and taking being initiated by that devotee to be connected to Krishna and then serving, the carrying on the instructions of the Guru. So this, according to the Goswamis and Srila Prabhupada, these are the most important among the first 20. And then the acharyas also give five most potent activities in devotional service, and one of them is sadhu sangha, and also is the most important of the five. So there are five: the sadhu sangha, deity worship, chanting of the holy name, residing in a holy place like Mathura, and Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And among the five, the most important is the association of devotees, because this association of devotees brings deity worship, brings Srimad Bhagavatam, and brings the chanting of the holy name. And the holy places, there are holy places because there are holy devotees living in these holy places. So Durvasa Muni now is will begin to appreciate the importance of association with devotees, or the importance of respecting devotees, of worshipping these pure devotees. And so, having said that, this is pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he's explaining that although, again, Krishna is self-sufficient, to enjoy his transcendental bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. But this cooperation is from the pure devotees, because nobody else can do that kind of service for Krishna. And it's interesting that the word cooperation is there, because this is also what Srila Prabhupada said among the devotees, that they need to cooperate, not to please him, also to be successful. The institution that he did for increasing the number of devotees, that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant to bring pleasure to Krishna, to help Krishna increase his enjoyment by increasing the number of pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada stated that in his in the preface of Bhagavad Gita. He said that his work will be valuable if at least one person become a pure devotee, because that's the whole mission, is to make pure devotees. And so Srila Prabhupada was not interested in having an institution that is just only popular and many people being attracted, but he wanted the people who is attracted to become pure devotees, even if one for Srila Prabhupada will be a success. So therefore, the school that he's bringing is a school of pure devotional service. So therefore, he brought the shastras pure devotees, of the Sikh Goswamis. He brought Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the culmination of all the works of pure devotees about Lord Chaitanya. It's the ultimate word regarding Lord Chaitanya's mission. And in that Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami described the mission of Lord Chaitanya. He described that there is an external and internal reasons, but when he's describing the external reason why Lord Chaitanya is coming, he explains that Krishna is absorbed in the transcendental love of his devotees in Vrindavan, in Braja, with different servants, friends, of father, the five different rasas he's exchanging with his devotees there. And then he explained that for a long time, Krishna was thinking, I haven't given this pure love that this resident of Vrindavan are exchanging with me. I haven't given this in the material universe. So he said, without that bond of love, Krishna is saying, according to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, life is useless. He said, even by practicing devotional service and the rule and regulations, people can go to Vaikuntha and achieve the different type of liberation, not like sarshti, which means to become, enjoy the same opulence as the Lord, or sarupya, to have the same form of the Lord, samipya, we live with the Lord in the same planet, or like salokya, residing in the same planet of the Lord. These are things that devotees can get, but these are not things that pure devotees are hankering for. Even according to Srila Rupa Goswami, these pure devotees in the level of Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti, they see the even in personal liberation, they see like hellish. And the other type of liberation, they reject them. At least Krishna forced them to take them. So Krishna says, he was thinking, okay, I will establish in this age, in Kali Yuga, the Nama Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names. But in this chanting of the holy name, he will give the love of, in the mood of Vrindavan. Because in other Kali Yugas, when Lord Chaitanya comes, he gives this chanting of the holy name, but in the mood of Vaikuntha, it's more. But only once in a day of Brahma, when Lord Krishna Swayam, or the original Krishna, this Krishna that increased his bliss by being surrounded of devotees, when this Krishna Swayam comes, Lord Chaitanya comes next in Kali Yuga, and this Lord Chaitanya is also Krishna Swayam. It's the same Krishna. It's not just a Yuga avatar. It's Krishna himself that is coming to bring this opportunity for all conditioned souls to become pure devotees of Krishna. So, and for doing that, he requires the cooperation of his devotees in many ways. And one way is those devotees who come with Krishna to make more devotees. For instance, when Lord Chaitanya was about to leave this, he wasn't yet about to leave, but he was thinking, so what will happen with the pure devotional service when I leave? How this devotional service will be given to others? And so he was thinking like this, and then he thought about Srinivasacharya. He said, I will give to Srinivasacharya this pure devotional service. Srinivasacharya wasn't born at that time, but Lord Chaitanya brought his devotee, Srinivasacharya, to carry the pure devotional service to the next generations. And he alone with other devotees like Narottanda Thakur and Syamananda Pandit were the three devotees who cooperate with Lord Chaitanya and the previous acharyas to keep the teachings of Lord Chaitanya safe. Without any mix, without water in them. So this Srinivasacharya, Syamananda Pandit, and Narottanda Thakur, they distribute the literature of the Goswamis, of Jiva Goswami, Rupa, especially Rupa Goswami. And Jiva Goswami, he make, when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami left, and the other Goswamis, Sri Jiva Goswami, he makes sure that this literature will be passing to the next generation of devotees. You know? So he sent Narottam Srinivas to West Bengal to distribute the books of the Goswamis. And these same books are being put in English words by Srila Prabhupada in his purports. If we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the purports full of quotes about the Goswami. He translated the nectar of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu into the nectar of devotion. He gave us the Upadeshamrita. So these are all works from these devotees who are giving pleasure to the Lord, increasing the pleasure to the Lord. You know, Rupa Goswami is the eternal associate of Krishna. No, in Krishna Lila and in Krishna, in Gaura Lila, in both. And so Srila Prabhupada, he's stating here that the Hare Krishna movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. And therefore he brought these books that he cared a lot about them, because these books have that potency, have the potency of making pure devotees, because the writings that are put there, that Srila Prabhupada, he said that I didn't change anything because he's bringing the word of the Goswamis. Now that the many ISKCON devotees, they have translated different books, and now even the Sandarbha from Jiva Goswami, we can realize how Srila Prabhupada put everything in his books, because the essence of these books are all in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are many quotes from the different verses from the Goswami, so all spread all over Prabhupada's books. So whoever get in contact with these teachings, he's getting in contact with these pure devotees who are very, very dear to Krishna, as he's explaining to Durvasa Muni. So, Srila Prabhupada said here, the Krishna Consciousness Movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord. More and more, it is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, he does not feel transcendental bliss without his devotees. So these activities of preaching that these pure devotees like Srinivasa Acharya and Srila Prabhupada were carrying on, these are activities of liberated souls. Satatam kirtayantamam. And we, within ISKCON, we are given the opportunity of participating in these activities without being pure devotees. But the activity is an activity of a pure devotee. It's like when a child wants to play, some thing that adults do, you know, like sometimes they, when I was a child, we used to play the bank, you know, like we have a bank, you know, so, no, not the bank, like a bank, you know, like where you change money like that. So we have a game, you know, in which you have all the things like fake money, everything like that. So you have a taste, but this is an opportunity similar, but this is real. But we are doing activities of mature and pure devotees, and we can anyone can do it. Sometimes a new person comes to the movement, and then he's engaged in book distribution, and he's doing the topmost activity, but without being necessarily a pure devotee. It's a special mercy that is there. No? The same with worshipping Tulsi Devi. No? These are the activities that only pure devotees were doing, like Haridas Thakur. No? He was chanting every day in front of Tulsi Devi. So we come here and we are chanting in front of Tulsi Devi also. No? So these are activities of pure devotees. It's like a materialistic person is playing the game of a millionaire. No? Like he's doing the same activity of a millionaire without being a millionaire. No? Yeah. So we are given this opportunity of doing this activity that brings pleasure to the Lord. And among these activities, the most special is those who attract others to Krishna. But especially here, it's saying that what pleases Krishna is when people become pure devotees. So that's our main challenge. Because once when we study Madhurya Kadambini, we start. It's a Madhurya Kadambini is a book, which describes the whole path of the devotee from Shraddha, from the initial faith to the highest stage of love for God, prema. But in between, when you read that book, you can see where you are, more or less. And generally, many devotees, they find many similarities with their own practices when they read the section of Bhajana Kriya, in which there are different characteristics that show us that we may not be a pure devotee, even though you may think, like it's called like Utsahamai, not the first one thing that, oh, I'm very advanced, etc. But then Vishaya Sangara, which means the inability to control our senses, that we start coming to senses and realizing how great are the pure devotees who can do this just by thinking on Krishna. Therefore, Upadeshamrita is another book that brings from the lowest level to the highest level of devotional service. And again, the first is confirming the failure of the Utsaha Mai devotee, you know, the Vacho Begam Manasakra Begam. To be a devotee first, we have to control our speech, you know, the three organs of the body, you know, the tongue, belly, and genitals. And not control this through the process of jnana, again, because the devotees take shelter only bhakti. You know. So it's not that we try to become tapasvis or yogis by rejecting all the objects of the senses. Oh, this food, this is too nice, I don't want this. This is not a process. The process that Rupa Goswami is giving is bhakti. So therefore, when we read the purport of Upadeshamrita, the first text, Vacho Begam, Manasakrada Begam, how to control the impulse or the urge of a speech is through Krishna Katha. It's not through rejection. I'm not speaking anything. No, I speak about Krishna. The same with the tongue. It's by tasting the prasadana of the Lord. Not seeing the food as a threat, but seeing as a mercy of the Lord. So it's changing our vision. But it's the process of bhakti, not the process of jnana, which is rejecting everything. So these Madhurya Kadambini and Upadeshamrita are showing the path toward the prema, and the first step is to become a Goswami. Srila Prabhupada also confirmed that. And Madhurya Kadambini put it in different ways by showing how the devotee in the lower stages sometimes think that he's very advanced, but then reality show that he's not. So we can speak very nicely, you know, about Krishna, and that we love Krishna. It's like when a boy speaks very nice of her girlfriend, or the girlfriend speaks very nice of the boy, and they say, I love you, and they write letters, no, I love you so much, so much, so much. And then when there is a problem, you know, when the girl has a problem or the boy has a problem, then they don't do anything, you know, for each other. So this is Utsahamai. It's a false enthusiasm. No? Oh, how much I love you. But when it comes to do something for the lover, there's no. So in devotional service, also we can be, oh, how much I love you, Krishna. I love devotional service. No? And when it comes to do something for the Lord, then it will be something that will bring discomfort, then we leave it. No, I don't want to do it. And the purpose actually of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that how Srila Prabhupada made it, is to help us to understand that the center is Krishna and we have to give him pleasure. And it sometimes become a mess how to practice because it's such a clear goal, you know, that is to please Krishna, only pure devotional service. So there are many conflicts sometimes in how to achieve this. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, that the process is simple because we understand. It's very simple in one sense that we say, okay, pure devotional service, you practice with favorable intention for Krishna, given the activity given by the acharyas, devoid of all material desire, devoid of any other process. But then Srila Prabhupada said, but the application is complicated, it's more complex. How do you apply that? So this cooperation to please Krishna sometimes become very difficult because not everyone is in the same page. So only pure devotees can cooperate in that level because they only have one business, to please Krishna. So they can even differ among themselves, and that's not a problem. Because you have in Vrindavan, the devotees differ. You can have the Mother Yashoda may want Krishna to be in his house because she's preparing food, but then the gopas may want Krishna to play with them, and then the gopis may want Krishna to be with them. So there are conflict there. But that's okay, because the interest is to please Krishna. So in the level of very advanced devotees, even in a mission, they may have different ways of how to please Krishna, how to make pure devotees, how to make more devotees. So one devotee says, we can do it this way, other devotee, we can do it this way. But when there are pure devotees, that's not a problem, because they are trying to increase the number of devotees. But the problem becomes when these activities are carried out by children, by us. That we are trying to do these activities of pure devotees from our level. So then, because false ego is still there, is not dissolved, then these activities sometimes become just the source of our pride. So instead of being for pleasing Krishna, increasing the number of devotees, the activity is, this is the service I do, no, this is it. And this person is disturbing my service, etc. So there can be many, many conflicts in this level. But the activity is so purifying that by being careful and following the pure devotees, we might be able to carry on. We can see these examples and by going through the history of the Hare Krishna movement from Lord Chaitanya onwards, all the achievements that the movement has when the devotees were cooperating together to please Krishna, you know, like the first festival of Gaur Purnima, you know, that was done by the devotees working together, and we can see that in Prabhupada Lilamrita, no? We can see instances in which the devotees achieved, for instance, all the temples in India, all devotees all over the world, they were distributing books, and all the money was going to build these temples in Mayapur, other places, and everyone was doing for the same thing, no? They were distributing books just to carry on the mission of Srila Prabhupada. They had the same idea, and we see the big achievement that they do, how the movement grow in few years, and they did many things to please Krishna. And it's still growing, of course, in many places. And So, and this is all occurs when the devotees are cooperating with that understanding, not that we are going to increase the bliss of Krishna. Because Krishna, like when we worship the deities, all these wonderful arrangements that the pujaris are making, and the flower, etc., and they are not so. They become more enjoyable when many people come to the temple, and they see the deities. No? Even the pujaris are more happy, like those who are dressing. No? Wow, because they are dressing the deities. So people come and they become lovers of Krishna. In the same, everything, the prasan, the food is cooked also with that understanding. So people become attracted to Krishna. The incense, you know, that we offer is to create an experience, also to please Krishna, and then that aroma is what makes devotees. I know many devotees who just become devotees because they seem like the four kumaras, no? Because they smell like four kumaras smell the aroma of tulsi. But many people, they came to the temple and they had these smells, no, of incense, and it was very pleasant for them. And they say, "I never experienced something like this." And then somebody hand a flower, and they look at the deity. It's such a transcendental experience. So all meant for the same purpose: the book distribution, for the same purpose of cooking, reading, etc. So is there any comment? Oh. Anyone?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. It's very nice. I like the point you were saying about Srivas Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur, and they want to distribute some books. And it's very interesting thing in that we're doing the same activity at such a fallen state compared to the great souls. And I was just thinking, it's kind of a weird question, but like, I don't think there was a printing press or something like that. So like, was there someone writing down, like making copies of all the Goswami's books?
Yeah.
Who do you know? Like who was, or like maybe, I don't know if it's known, but like, because it's a pretty great service to make copies of the six Goswami's books. I was just curious, like who was making copies of their books, if you know.
At that time. Well, I don't have here, we can research that. I know that at that time you will send the book to a person instead of doing Xerox. You have the book, like Lord Chaitanya did that with a copy of the fifth chapter of Brahma Sanhita. He will give the book that he found to a person who will copy the book, so he will have a copy. So there were a person whose job was just to transcribe a book. So that was the way that they can have more books. So that was something feasible. No, like but now it's amazing that we can just have books in thousands of books, you know, producing. So.
There's just one comment.
Yes, bro.
I remember reading, just adding to the theme, I can't remember from which acharya, but I have to look for the quote, but I remember the quote that is almost like maybe Vishwanath Chakravarti revealing Krishna's thinking, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does, that Krishna is thinking. The quote goes like this, paraphrase, that he wants to serve the devotee. Krishna feels very impelled to serve always the devotee. So he wants to serve, but the devotee, he have no material desires. He have no motivation, no desires. His only desire is Krishna's happiness. And Krishna wants to do something for this devotee, so he's always anxious to do something, serve the devotees. So when he sees that someone else is serving that devotee, then he becomes really happy with that person. We could say, "Oh, he's doing what I want to do." So he's fulfilling my desire. So that's why the servant of the devotee becomes very dear to Krishna, because he's doing is fulfilling Krishna's desire to serve the devotee. So I have to look for that one there. It's very beautiful like that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Gopi Vartu Kamakamalayor, that's the dasana, that's the instruction. It makes sense, no? Because the devotee has the same desire of the Lord. So actually, when somebody helping the devotee is helping the Lord to fulfill the desire of the Lord, because this devotee fulfilling the desire of Krishna. So then Krishna is saying, oh, he's helping my devotee to fulfill, who is fulfilling my desire of bringing more devotees to my, not to my home, but to Godhead. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Can we call the devotee person who, like, just let's imagine, who never eats meat or fish and eggs, never lies, and being honest with himself during the life, but he's not in, like, ISKCON. Can we call this person devotee?
Well, I didn't hear the other words. You say something like somebody who never eat eggs.
Like he follows the rules, but yeah. He follows that because he listened to his heart. Who doesn't know about, like, Krishna consciousness, like, you know, like, about ISKCON.
He's not Krishna conscious.
He's following all the rules and regulations. He's a person, you know, who doesn't eat meat.
Yes.
Who does all these...
All moral principles.
All these things, but doesn't know about Krishna. It's not within, you know...
These are not items of devotional service. Being a vegetarian is not anga of bhakti, so doesn't have the power. Being vegetarian or follow this rule won't give you bhakti, even if you've been vegetarian for thousands of years, you know? like many animals. So that's what make a devotee. Even a person who eat meat, but if they come in contact with some bhakti, they live in a place where they are chanting of the holy name, and they hear the holy name, and they chant even one the holy name, you can consider a devotee, you know, if they chant at least once the holy name. But somebody who just follow rules, that's a pious person, can be considered, it's a pious person, but a devotee is different, because although, of course, Bhagavad Gita says, yeshatu antaka tam papam, when a person has get rid of all his sinful activities, then he's more propense to approach to the devotees and be kind to them, and then receive the mercy. Because if a person has very bad habits, they cannot appreciate. Now, for instance, somebody who likes these rules may be inclined to the and respectful to the Hare Krishna movement, because he can appreciate the no meat eating, etc.
Thank you for your class. You were mentioning controlling of the speech and the pure devotee, so I kind of like to connect those points. Usually when we hear pure devotee, we hear Haridasa Kaur Prahlad, but a lot of times, like, for example, the pastime of Lord Shiva, the Mohini form where he discharged semen, he's not a pure devotee. Bilva Mangal Thakur, he's not a pure devotee from my external point of view. And even the pastime Haridasa Thakur, he purified the prostitute after 3 days. And it says she became an exalted devotee. Yeah. So I always give this example. If a prostitute was asked to give a Bhagavatam class, a former prostitute, and we haven't done any of those activities throughout our life, naturally we'll say, okay, she's not a pure devotee. I didn't do any of those things. So basically my question is, in spiritual life, we like to judge people externally. And as far as controlling the speech is concerned, the tendency is that, okay, I want to control my speech, but I also want to protect others. Because I could see, basically, I'm Christian, I could see within our heart. Mm-hmm. So I want to protect others. So what is a person to do when they, that's usually the tendency in the material world. You know, if you're envious, you may not see it as envy, or sometimes you genuinely want to protect somebody. If you're sincere, you may not be envious, but the tendency is I want to say something. So what is a person to do in that dilemma? My understanding is, you know, Krishna sees with everyone's heart. We're not their protectors. but that's the tendency I want to protect, and so let me not control my speech. Let me do it with I feel is right. So that's the dilemma that comes up all the time. So maybe you could explain something about that.
I don't know if we have time. Do I have time? Can you explain in one sentence the dilemma?
The dilemma is, what is a person to do as far as controlling their speech if they feel like I need to protect someone because they're not a devotee? But